Well, how many people here like making New Year's resolutions? We have like two people. Two people. So the rest of you are perfect, huh? You don't need to resolve to do anything different, huh? That's right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you after service because I got a lot of work to do. And apparently, you all got it together. All right? Now, I don't blame you. Look, I used to not be a fan at all of New Year's resolutions. I felt that if I needed to change something, then I would just resolve at that point to change it. It didn't need to be January in order to do so. Now, that's still very true, and I still do that. But over the past few years, I have actually come to see the power in making a resolution at the beginning of the year. There is just something about the new year. It feels like a new beginning, a new chapter, a clean slate. And so I have found that setting a goal at the beginning of the year has actually been particularly motivating, and to accomplish that goal as the year goes on. It has helped me to structure my downtime to be spent to achieving that particular goal, as opposed to spending it on time that's not as helpful, as fruitful. In the end, I have found that if you don't have a plan to change, then don't plan on changing. So to be clear, the resolutions that I'm talking about are not like, well, I want to eat less sugar, or I want to go to bed earlier, right? Those are not the resolutions that I'm talking about, and those are not the resolutions the Bible is talking about. No, I'm talking about resolutions that are specifically targeting ways that we can grow more in Christ-likeness. Tangible goals that you can strive to accomplish that will draw you closer to Christ. These are the resolutions that I'm talking about. And that's the type of resolutions that I'm going to encourage you, although maybe you're all perfect, to make this as this new year approaches. So that, to that end, I want to turn our attention to our passage this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, this passage does not talk about resolutions, but it does talk about the urgency to continually live in a Christ-like manner. And in this passage, we can draw three commands that can be the basis of your resolution this year to grow in Christ-likeness. The first is to walk in Christ. Secondly, be grounded in the faith. And third, abound in thanksgiving. Okay, walk in Christ, be grounded in the faith, abound in thanksgiving. Now, my hope is that you would resolve to do things that will cause you to grow in these areas, and that by growing in them, you will become more like Christ. And by becoming more like Christ, you will glorify Him even more. And so the purpose for these resolutions is not ultimately for yourself, but for the glory of Christ. Your personal growth is a wonderful byproduct as you achieve the ultimate goal of glorifying Christ. And so let's read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and then we'll start by looking at these commands. This is Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so the first command, and this is actually the central command of this entire passage, is to walk in Christ. To walk in Christ. Notice first that walking in Christ is the necessary result of receiving Christ Jesus as the Lord. It is expected that if you trust in Christ as your Savior, then you will walk in Christ. Now, furthermore, this command to walk in Christ, it carries this verb tense that means continual action. And so what this means is that we are to continually walk in Christ. You don't just walk in Christ when you are saved. You don't just walk in Christ on Sundays. You walk in Christ every moment of your life, every beat of your heart. We are to walk in Christ. Now, what does it mean to walk in Christ? To continually do so? Well, to walk in Christ means to have your life directed by Christ. You see, this verb to walk in the Greek has this interesting kind of connotation to it. It means to live. Now, the reason why this is that back then, right, life was often pictured as this journey in which you walk along a path. And so, in this sense, how you walk along the path is indicative of how you live your life. And so to walk in Christ means to live your life directed by Christ. It is letting your values, your thinking, your conduct to be guided by Christ and His Word. And so how you treat people who are different from you, whether that is different skin color or political affiliation or nationality or whatever, how you respond to people who have wronged you, how you talk to others, how you think about other people, all of these things and all aspects of our life are to be guided by and directed by Christ and His Word. That is what it means to continually walk in Christ. Now remember, Jesus tells His disciples, whoever is to be My disciple is to pick up their cross daily and follow Me. It is a call to continually die to yourself and your wants in order to live for Christ and His will. To walk in Christ is to pick up your cross and follow Christ every moment of your life. And so picking up your cross daily and walking in Christ leads to a very important result. It helps you to grow in Christ's likeness. The more that you walk in Christ, the more that you will be like Christ. And the more that you pick up your cross and follow Him, the more that you will be directed by Him. And that is really important. Because the more that you are like Christ and the more that you are directed by Christ, the more people will see Christ in you. And the more that they see Christ in you, the more likely that they will ask the reason for the hope that you have. And as you share the gospel with your words and through your conduct, that, brothers and sisters, will show them that Christ is your greatest treasure. And that will bring glory to God. And so as we grow in Christ like this, yes, we do grow and mature personally. But more importantly, we bring glory to our great God and Father. And so as you consider what, maybe, resolutions to make this year, think about what you can do to walk more in Christ. Now, what are tangible ways that we can actually walk in Christ? There are many, but Paul gives specifically two here in our passage. So we're going to look at those each one at a time. So let's take a look at Colossians 2, 6, and 7 again. We'll read it. It's a short passage for us this morning. So just let's look at these two verses. Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so Paul first instructs us that in order to walk in Christ, we must be grounded in the faith. Now, grammatically, the verbs rooted and built up and established are not imperatives, but rather they are all explaining how to work out, how to live out the central command, the central imperative of to walk in Christ. So in other words, we walk in Christ by being rooted in Him, by being built up in Him, and by being established in the faith. That is the proper grammatical connection. Now, we can think of them each as commands, but we must always remember that they're not distinct commands from walking in Christ. They are connected. They are the reason, the means by which we can walk in Christ. And so Paul, in the first half of verse 7, he gives three verbs to communicate this one central idea. This one central idea, namely being to ground yourself in the faith. And he goes about that explaining it with these three verbs. And the first one is he says, be rooted in Christ. Now the concept of being rooted in Christ is taken from the world of plants, right? It's conjuring up this image of trees sending their roots deep down into the ground, right? So that they are firmly established, so that they are unshakable. Now, in a similar fashion, believers are to be like trees that send their roots down deep into the soil of Christ. And it reminds me of one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, which says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now, in the same way, we as believers are like that tree in Jeremiah 17. We send our roots down deep into the soil of Christ. We soak up the living water that is Christ, the drought that the water that never runs dry. And even when we're in a time of drought, even when we're in a horrible season, our leaves are always green and we always bear fruit. Not because the season around us is great, but because we're being sustained by the living water that is Christ. So be rooted in Christ. Now, if the analogy of roots and soil doesn't do it for you, Paul gives a different one. And he uses that of building and architecture. He says, be built up in Christ. Now, the idea that he's getting at is that in order to build a structure that will stand, specifically that will stand through storms and difficult situations, you must build on a solid foundation. A building that is built on a strong foundation will withstand strong winds, strong storms, but one that is built on a shoddy foundation is susceptible for collapse. Now, in a similar fashion, Paul is saying that we must build upon the foundation that is Christ. And when we do that, we will withstand any storm that comes into our life. This should remind us of the Lord's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I'll read it again. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, in the same fashion, when we build our life upon Christ, the solid rock, the solid foundation, then we'll be able to withstand any terrible storm, any terrible season that comes our life, and especially the storm of final judgment that will come crashing. But for those who build their lives on sand, for those who do not build their lives on Christ, then not only are they susceptible to fall when terrible storms and seasons come into their life, when a wind comes and blows the corner of their house down, but they will not sustain and they will not stand when the storm of final judgment comes on their house. Be built up in Christ. Now, if neither of those analogies worked, Paul gives one more. Be established in the faith. The idea is very similar to the previous two. And in fact, you could argue that it is a combination of the previous two analogies. The idea that Paul is communicating is that you get ground, is that you are grounded in the beliefs and doctrines of the faith as outlined in the Bible. You are established in them, meaning you hold fast to them and live them out accordingly in your life. And so these three verbs are all communicating one central truth in a slightly different way. They are all saying, be grounded in the faith. And remember that this is connected to the central imperative, the main imperative, continually walk in Christ. Continually walk in Christ by being rooted in Him, by being built up in Him, and by being established in the faith. Or more simply, walk in Christ by being grounded in the faith. And so as you are considering resolutions this year, perhaps, what goals can you make that will help you to walk in Christ by being grounded in the faith? Here are some examples of how you can do this, how you can apply it to your life, and maybe some goals that you can set for yourself in the new year. The first is to memorize Scripture. You can't be surprised at me saying that, right? I know I sound like a broken record. I've probably told you this in more sermons than not, but I cannot emphasize enough the importance of memorizing Scripture. Set a goal to memorize Scripture. When you treasure God's word in your heart, a lot of good comes from it. Not only for others, but for yourself. Maybe memorizing one Scripture a week is too hard. Okay. I put it in the bulletin every week. I pray and hope that you guys are trying to do it. Maybe once a week is too hard. How about once a month? We can certainly memorize 12 passages of Scripture in 1 year. That's something we can certainly all do. Maybe this year it's once a year, and then maybe next year you do, or excuse me, maybe this year it's once a month, and maybe next year it's then twice a month. I can't urge you strongly enough. Consider memorizing Scripture. Set a goal and stick to it. It will help you to be rooted in Christ and thus help you walk in Him and become more Christ-like. Or set a goal and in conjunction, read through the entire Bible. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but I strongly encourage you to read through the entire Bible. Set a goal to do it in maybe 1 year, or 2 years, or even three. If you do it in 1 year, I think it's about three or four, it's about four chapters a day, okay? Set the goal to read through the entire Bible because it is all God's Word. And reading it and knowing it will help you to be grounded in the faith. My last suggestion is to read good Christian books. I love reading, and I've set goals to read certain amount of books each year for the past couple of years. It is a goal that helps keep my mind sharp. It helps me to continue to grow in my faith. And it keeps me from doing something, from doing other things, like whether it's, you know, watching a lot of TV or reading sports articles or whatever, that's just not as fruitful. And so know yourself and set a realistic goal. Maybe that's reading one book a month. One book. If you don't know what books to read, come talk to me. I've got a whole treasure trove of books that you can read. Huge list on various topics. Good authors. I can help you with that. We even have a whole library in the fellowship hall of books that you can take out and read. Consider setting a goal to read some good Christian books. I have to say that outside of the Bible, reading good Christian books may very well be the means that I have grown the most as a believer. And so what resolutions can you make this upcoming year to walk in Christ by being grounded in the faith? So I said that Paul gives two tangible ways to walk in Christ, and the first, as we just saw, is by being grounded in the faith. The second, we're going to see, is at the very end of verse 7, and it is by abounding in thanksgiving. So let's read verses 6 and 7 again. Maybe you'll memorize it by the end of today, and then let's discuss our final point. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So in order to walk in Christ, Paul says we must also abound in thanksgiving. We continually walk in Christ by abounding in thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God is a concept that Paul commands all the time. He commands us to have a thankful emotion. Here's a small sampling, of scriptures that command us to be thankful. I'm going to stick in Colossians for a lot of them. Colossians 1, 11 through 12. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and with all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ through God the Father. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Last one I'll give. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is just from Paul. I've not included anything from the rest of the New Testament or the Psalms. The Bible is clear in its command to us that as God's people, we are to be thankful. And indeed, we should be the most thankful people in the world. No one should be more thankful than those who have received Christ as Lord. A poor person who has Christ has more to be thankful for than a billionaire who has all his money and all his possessions but does not have Christ. Is this true? Do we believe this? We know that the greater the gift we receive, the greater the gratitude that we show. Think of little Timmy. Timmy goes to his grandmother's house for Christmas, and she hands him a gift, and he opens it, and it's a nice pair of socks. And Timmy, he was brought up well, and he goes, well, thank you, Grandma. I'm sure these will keep my feet warm. He showed gratitude, all right. But let's say Grandma has another gift behind her back. She gives it to little Timmy. Timmy opens it up, and it's a nice brand new PlayStation 5, something his parents wouldn't get him. And he goes, yes, thank you, Grandma. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I love you so much, Grandma. Thank you for this gift. Now, which one was abounding in thanksgiving? When he received the socks or when he received the PlayStation? Clearly, when he received the latter gift. He abounded in thanksgiving. It was a greater gift to him, and so he had greater joy. He didn't have to be forced to say thank you. It just overflowed out of his heart. Now, there is no greater gift that anyone can receive than Christ. Christ trumps every gift that this world could potentially offer. And therefore, there is nothing that deserves more thanksgiving than him. The reason why believers should be the most thankful people on the planet is because we know what we've been saved from, namely eternal condemnation for our sins. We know we've been saved from that. And we know who we're going to spend the rest of eternity with, namely God. And so for those two reasons alone, we should overflow in thanksgiving. Those are not things that are based on our circumstances. Whether we are in a high point in our life or a terrible season in life, those two things, if we have Christ, those two things remain the same. And so that it leads us to abound in thanksgiving. We know why Christ is the greatest gift. Now, a non-believer, they don't know that. They don't know why Christ is this greatest gift. And so they're thanksgiving, and they are thankful. Non-believers are certainly thankful. But their thankfulness is dependent upon their circumstances. And frankly, it is to our shame if a non-believer is more thankful than we are. We have the greatest gift. We have the gift of Christ. Abound in thanksgiving. And I think that is one of the reasons why Paul says, walk in Christ by abounding in thanksgiving. He knows that we're prone to be unthankful. He knows that we're prone to try to take credit for ourselves. We're going through this good season. It's because of me. It's not because of God. Or things are going smoothly and we forget to say thank you to God. That things are not going terribly. We're prone to be unthankful. Even though we should be the most thankful people in the world. And so I think that's the reason why Paul says, walk in Christ by abounding in thanksgiving. Overflow with thanksgiving to God. Let thanksgiving just continually be on your lips. Continually flow from your mouth. And in doing so, we will be walking in Christ. Now, how do we make a resolution this upcoming year to help you walk in Christ by abounding in thanksgiving? Well, here are a few more examples of how you can apply this to your life and how you can potentially resolve in 2022 to be more thankful. The first is memorize Scripture. Come on, shouldn't be surprised at this, right? I think memorizing some of the scriptures that I talked about, right, the ones that I just read recently that have to do with thankfulness is a very helpful way to abound in thankfulness. When you have God's word stored up in your heart, and when you come into a situation that might cause you to grumble or to be unthankful, the Holy Spirit will just well that scripture up, bring it up to the surface, bubble it up to your mind. Hopefully, that will be a game changer for you in your fight to be more thankful. Or perhaps every day you can begin the day by reciting those scriptures to yourself, reciting those scriptures on thankfulness, and then just spend some time saying, God, please help me to be more thankful today. Both of those ways, which incorporate memorizing scripture, I think are really helpful to grow to abound in thankfulness. A second way is to journal about what you're thankful for. Have a Thanksgiving journal. And perhaps set a goal once a day or once a week to take time to journal about specific reasons to give thanks to God for something that has happened that day or that week. Specific things to be thankful for. Now, it might be hard at the beginning to get into that discipline, but keep at it. And I think as time goes on, not only will it become easier, but you will be amazed at all that the Lord is doing in your life and all the reasons to be thankful. And as you read back through that Thanksgiving journal, you will abound with thanksgiving to God. I think this is a really good way to grow in thankfulness. The last one is a little outside the box, but it's to reframe Okay? Reframe bad situations to offer thanks to God. This one's a little bit more difficult because there's no, it's not a measurable goal, right? Journaling once a week is measurable. Memorizing scripture, measurable, right? Reframing bad situations to give thanks to God, not measurable.
But I still think it's important. And this is one that I'm personally going to try to do in 2022. If you're like me, sometimes you are quick to grumble or be pessimistic or spiral in certain situations. For instance, let's say that I have a really busy week at work. I have a lot of messages to prepare, so I want to get to work early. And it just so happens that my lovely children want to take their sweet time eating breakfast or getting dressed or something else, right? And whatever it might be, right, as a result, I am off to a later start than I want. Well, instead of grumbling and thinking to myself, well, now I'm behind schedule. And my already busy week is now stressful. I want to reframe it and give thanks. Giving me more time with my kids. Thank you, God, for reminding me that spending time with my family is more important than accomplishing my duties. Again, that is a hard goal to measure, but it is something that I want to do more of in 2022. Andrew, I think we lost, I think my battery died. Do you want to use that?
I'm getting it on this.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters, I hope this sermon has shown the importance of resolving to walk in Christ and grow in Christ's likeness. And I hope it motivates you to make your own resolutions on how to walk in Christ and to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ.
The storyline of the Bible is the storyline of God calling us to himself by grace through faith.
And read the Bible. And as we close, let me bring one other scripture to our attention. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." All believers, with unveiled face, are beholding, gazing, staring in awe of the glory of Christ. In all of its beauty, in all of its majesty. And as we behold Christ, as we fix our eyes on Him, we are being transformed by God into the magnificently glorious image of Christ that we are beholding. That is utterly incredible. As we behold Christ, as we behold Him in His glory, we are being transformed to become more like Him. That is what I want in my life. Don't you? Sign me up for that. Sign me up for beholding at Jesus, the one whom I love most and who loves me more. When I gaze upon Him in His glory, that's how I get transformed. That's what I want. Now the problem, brothers and sisters, is that we so easily take our gaze off of Christ and onto the tangible, touchable, temporary things of this world. We behold something of infinitely less worth than that of the glory of Christ. And so don't waste your life beholding some temporary worldly thing when you can, with unveiled face, behold the glory of Christ and be transformed more into His image. Make a resolution this year to fix your gaze on Christ and to grow in Christ's likeness. Resolve to behold Christ this year. Resolve to walk in Him. Make resolutions that cause you to be grounded in the faith and to abound in thanksgiving to God. Make resolutions that will lead you to behold the glory of Christ in all of his splendor. I promise you that your efforts and the discipline will be worth it. You will receive joy as you gaze upon his glory, and joy as you mature in the faith and grow in Christ's likeness. And God will be greatly glorified in you as you continually find your joy in him. Brothers and sisters, resolve to be like Christ. Resolve to walk in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God, that we can fix our eyes upon him and behold him in his glory and his majesty. And as we behold him, we become more like him. We're transformed into his image by your grace, Father. We thank you that you are working in us both to will and to work for your good pleasure. We thank you, God, that you who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And so, Father, in the here and now, would we resolve to walk in Christ? Would we resolve to grow in Christ? Would we resolve to pick up our cross daily and follow Christ? Would you help us, Lord God, to be grounded in the faith, to be grounded in your word? Would you help us, God, to abound in thanksgiving, to overflow in thanksgiving, knowing that we have the greatest gift that could ever be given, and that is your Son, Christ. Help us, Lord God, to walk in him. Help us, Lord God, to be transformed, to be more like him. And Lord, would you give us the courage to go and tell others of the glorious grace of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.